y'all. I come up with a little bit of a head cold, so I got a little bit of a scratchy throat. So I decided to take what I was going to do today and break it in half, so I wouldn't have to talk quite so long. That's right. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's all. I'm just going to assume that it's all in fun. That's right. I'm going to assume that it's all in fun. But, so tonight we're going to pick up a little bit from where we left off last week. But first, let me read for us Jude 1, 3 and 4, and then I'll pray for us. Jude 1, 3 through 4 says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Heavenly Father, may we never be those who pervert the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May Vine Street always be a place who fights, who contends for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. Help us, Lord, to strengthen our faith by looking to those saints who have gone before us and by understanding your word better through the way that they have understood it. Be with us tonight. For Christ's sake, amen. So Jude, in this letter to Jude, we see a encouragement to contend for the faith. That there's people, like we've talked about, who are trying to attack the faith. And these are false teachers. And so the church is called to fight back, not with swords or stones, but with truth. And last week we talked about Gnosticism, which was the really cool heresy of the first and second century that really started to take the church, or take some people in the church, in a wrong direction. And we talked about that last week. And so this week we're going to start looking at the Apostles' Creed, which was written by the church in response to Gnosticism. So can anybody tell me what some of the characteristics of Gnosticism were that we talked about last week? Anybody remember anything about that? It's your quiz. Brother John, you're off the hook. I don't think you were here last week, so you're off the hook. But anything about Gnosticism? What about do you remember how someone was sort of saved in Gnosticism? What the premise was there? Had to get a secret knowledge. So this was all about gaining that secret knowledge, and it denied that God had created the material universe, and they said that a lesser God had created the material universe. And so it's just some of the core teachings of Gnosticism that people were being swept up by. And so the church responded, and one of the ways that it did was by bringing together the Apostles' Creed. And so I put that on the back of the prayer guide. It may be in the hymnal, but I wasn't sure, because this week we're going to talk about some of the history behind the Apostles' Creed, and then next week we're going to talk about the theology in the Apostles' Creed. I was going to do it all today, but just was not feeling up to par. And so this creed was formulated by the early church, and some called it something like the Rule of Faith, or the Roman Creed, because it was the church's understanding, sort of condensation of the scriptural message, of the gospel message. And so Why is it important? Why is it helpful to have sort of a summary statement of the scriptures? Why would you need that? That's right. That's right. Does anybody know the entire Bible in here? No, you can't do it. But there are times when you need to give a summary statement of what Christianity is about. You need to be able to do that. So if you're at the dog park and somebody tells you or asks you, what's it like to be a Christian? Or what's the basic message of the Bible? Or what's the basic message of the gospel? Can you do it? Do you have that summary message? Can you roll it off? Well, that's what things like this. That's what was so useful about this, about the Apostles' Creed. It's a summary message of the Scriptures. It's not divinely inspired like the Bible, but the church in many different places across many different years has said, this is a true representation of what's found within the Scriptures. And this is the core of what it means to be a Christian. You have to affirm this. And so at the very core, this is things that you need to believe if you're a Christian. And we need to know that. We need to be able to share that when we go places. And so this creed, we have it by about 140 A.D., so we're talking about 100, and depending on how you date it, about 110 to 107 years, 110 to 117 years after Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected. We have this creed in one form known as the Old Roman Creed. It's very similar to what we now know as the Apostles' Creed. And so this was in Greek. It was the first, we have it from Rome, and then by about 390 A.D., it's in Latin. And this is found throughout the Christian world. This was something that was really well known. And so it's called the Apostles' Creed, not because it was written by the apostles, but because it was a summary of apostolic doctrine. That this is what the apostles taught. When the apostles preached about Jesus, this message is a good summary of what they preached. And that's why it's called the Apostles' Creed. As a church, we want to be in continuity with the apostles. We want to say that the things that the apostles wrote, we hold to, we affirm. We had a preacher in chapel Tuesday who's a pastor at the Church of the Apostles. And so that's true. We say, yeah, amen. We want to be in continuity with the apostles. So that's why it's called the Apostles' Creed. And it was written specifically, and we'll look at this more next week. There are parts of it that were written particularly to show that Gnostics were not in. I mean, just real quickly, if you see, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker or creator of heaven and earth. Well, a Gnostic can't say that. If you're a heretic, you can't affirm that. You don't believe that. And so it was written sort of with that in mind. But let's talk about how it was used. So in the church, how was it used? Well, first, as we talked about, it was this helpful summary of Christian doctrine, and it enabled people to understand the basics of the faith. So you can't know everything about the whole Bible, but you can memorize, you can know this creed, and that way you can explain the message of the Bible. So does anybody have the creed memorized? Anybody know it? Some traditions say this every week. Some Baptist churches will say something like this every week. And I think I had it memorized as a kid when I went to the Methodist church, but I don't have it memorized anymore. But that was sort of the first use. But the second use was it was a teaching tool. So in the early church, let's just say that Miss Betty was interested in being a Christian. And she comes to me and she says, I really like what you guys are doing in this church. I want to be a Christian. How does that happen? Well, in our church, usually somebody kind of comes down front and maybe then we have a conversation with them. And it's a pretty short process, right? If you can kind of give your testimony about how you became a Christian and affirm, a couple things that you believe, then you can become a member of the church. Well, in the early church, it wasn't like that. So usually what happened was, if you were interested, Miss Betty, you would go through about a 3-year process of learning the Christian faith. And so the main teaching tool that they would use is this creed. They would use this to teach so as you're memorizing, I believe in God the Father Almighty, then this week maybe they would teach you a lot of things about what God, it means for God to be the Father. And so over the course of 3 years, you would come to understand a lot of Bible doctrine. And then, if at the end of those 3 years, you would affirm that, you would say, yeah, I believe this. I still believe this. I want to be a member of the church. Then you could then be baptized and be a member of the church. It's interesting because the early church had believers' baptism. So if you go to the church in Milan, where my uncle lives near this major church in Milan, you can actually go down into the bottom of the church and see where St. Augustine or St. Augustine was baptized. And it's like a pool, like a little pool where they would baptize just like we do. So maybe the Roman Catholics would say, no, people have been sprinkling infants for such and such a period of time. We'd say, no, we have plenty of archaeological evidence that shows the early church was dunking folks. They weren't baptizing babies, they were getting believers wet. And so we stand in continuity with the early church in that regard. And so just sort of the final way that the creed was used was that it's sort of like a real simple roadmap along the Christian journey. So you've got the Bible, which is obviously much better and more authoritative than the creed, and it's like the more intricate map with all the streets in Louisville, right? It's got everything. It tells you everything that you need to go. But sometimes you just need to know how to get from Bardstown Road to Walmart. And so you print off something on the computer that just has this short way to get you there, and it doesn't bother with all the details. And that's kind of what the creed is. And so these things are important for us to know just as we're navigating the journey of the Christian life. These things can help us know what to believe and how to believe. So if you just take a moment to look at it, sort of look into next week, what about the creed strikes you as odd? So if you look at it on the back of your prayer guide. Yep. What else on there? Good. Yeah. Anything else? And I'm gonna tell you next week kinda about that, but I wanna just see just to help me know what to spend extra time preparing for. Those were the two that are the most common sort of, hey, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Anything missing? Anything that you think, man, if I'm going to give a basic summary of the Christian message, I would have included something different? Sure, it talks about, you know, definitely the death, but you're saying it doesn't specifically say why he was dying? Yeah, so there's a number of things that it leaves out that have to be clarified in later creeds and things like that. Another one, the relationship between God, between the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. It mentions all three of them, but it doesn't speak to their relationship. That's something that will have to be clarified later. We'll definitely talk about that next week. What are some common sort of objections or aversions to using something like a creed? Like the Apostles' Creed. Why would somebody say, I'm just really not comfortable doing that? Because as Baptists, we don't do that a lot, right? Like, we're not known for really talking about these things a whole lot. So why is that? Yeah, part of it is I think a dislike of tradition that the Catholic Church is so has erred so strongly on maybe just mindless rituals where you would recite something with your mouth but not engage with it in your heart. So that's definitely part of it. We kind of sit in a particular place as a church. We're reacting against a certain number of things, and so that's one of them, that they emphasize it too much, so we don't want to emphasize it. Anything else? Sure. Yeah. 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 No. Right. Right. Yeah, so we have inherited about 500 years of issues that kind of cause us to be not too hot on some things like that. But right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'll answer that one quickly. The reason that it says that is because those Gnostics were denying that Jesus had really suffered, and so by putting Pontius Pilate in there, he's saying, no, he actually suffered. And it was when Pontius Pilate, somebody that we know is a real person, a historical figure, was the ruler. And so what it is it's linking back to the actual historical event and saying, no, this really happened, and there's plenty of evidence to show it. And so that's why that he's featured in there. When he's not, we don't really think about him as playing that big of a role. So that's why that's in there, because of it was a reaction to the Gnostics. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I guess we can move on to the prayer request.